Okay. I need some kids to help me this morning. If you're a child, please, won't you join me down the front here? Excellent. Now, excellent. Yeah, and if you can, try to sit five to a seat like these boys are over here. That was working out really well. Okay. So, this morning I have brought something very, very special in today. Okay, I even got a special box to put it in. In here is something very valuable, something which is highly sought after, something which everyone wants. Okay? And I'm going to give it to one of you. This is something which is so valuable in today's world. So I'm wondering, okay, so I'm wondering how am I going to decide who I'm going to give this to? Who would like to receive this very highly sought after gift? Oh dear, there's a lot of them. All right. Well, look, who's got a birthday coming up? It's going to have to be you.
I've had it on April.
You've had it?
No, I'm having it on April, the 3rd of April.
3rd of April. Anyone can do better than the 3rd of April? 6th of April. No, it's further along. You're in 10 days. Oh, no.
Mine's in 1 week.
1 week? Who's in 2 days? You're not down the front, doesn't matter. Okay. All right, so are you actually in 7 days?
No.
Your sister just... Okay, Kelsey, it must be you. Come on. Come and join me, Kelsey. You're not sure now?
Me?
Is your birthday in 10 days? Okay, well, you're the one who's going to get this very sought-after gift, which everyone wants right now. Are you ready? Ready? You open it up. You knew it. What is it? Oh! This is so rare right now. No one can get a hand on these right now. And I've given that to you. How do you... Oh, I need a microphone, actually. Microphone. Ah. So... How do you feel, Kelsey, to be given this highly sought-after, very special gift?
I don't know.
You don't know? Are you so grateful to receive this wonderful, rare present?
We still have heaps at home.
You have heaps at home. Well, you're lucky, because obviously lots of people don't. Anyway, so this morning, with the grown-ups, we're going to talk about what it means to be a good receiver, not just a good giver, but someone who receives well. Do we think Kelsey has received well this morning?
No.
Do you think you received it well?
Yes.
Kelsey thinks you did a good job. Anyway, I'm going to pray for you guys. Thanks, by the way. You got the, you know, I'm sorry you got the raw deal. But anyway, we're going to pray for these kids and they're going to go upstairs and have a great time. And you can keep that if you want. Oh. Apparently I need to take it back later. Anyway. $5. I'm going to pray for these kids, and then they're going to go upstairs and have their kids' time. So, cool. Let's pray. Oh, not yet. We're going to pray first. God, we want to thank you for these kids. Thank you that they're so amazing. And God, this morning as they go up to kids' time, I just want to pray that they be able to grab hold of everything that the teachers have prepared, and that you can speak very strongly through the teachers, and they can learn so much about how much you love them. So thank you, God, for these kids. We pray that we as a church can bless them every time we gather, and they can feel part of this amazing community that you've created here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Eli's going to read the Bible for us this morning. So, Eli, why don't you come up here with a microphone? And you remembered and I didn't. Good job, man. Nothing. It's all good.
I'll be reading from the International Children's Bible, Mark chapter 14, verses 3-9. A woman with a perfume for Jesus. Jesus was in Bethany. He was at dinner in the house of Simon, who had a harmful skin disease. While Jesus was there, a woman came up to him. She had an alabaster jar filled with very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. The woman opened the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Some of those who were there saw this and became angry. They complained to each other, saying, "Why waste that perfume? It was worth a full year's work. It could be sold and the money could be given to the poor." They spoke to the woman sharply. Jesus said, "Do not bother the woman. Why are you troubling her? You did a beautiful thing for me. You will always have the poor with you, and you can help them whenever you want. But you will not always have me. The woman did the only thing she could do for me. She poured perfume on my body. She did this before I died and prepared me for my burial. I tell you the truth. The good news will be told to people in all the world, and in every place it is preached, what this woman has done will be told and people will remember her.
Very good. Thank you, Eli.
Hi, I'm Brendan. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here at Aquinas Life, and it's great to have you all along this morning. I want to start this morning with a fun Bible quiz. Who likes fun Bible quizzes? Yes, excellent. Okay, here is the Bible quiz. Who said these words in the Bible? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Who is that? Who wants to have a go? Are you going to have a go, Paul? Oh, well, sort of is the answer. Was it Jesus? Anyone has another go? Well, that's technically correct. Yes, up the back there, Sam. God, that's a good answer too. We've got one over here. Paul. Yeah, see, this is where it's an interesting one because you're all right. Can I say that? Yeah, okay. So this actually appears in, oh, for bonus points, where's this appear in the, oh, you've already had a go. Where's this appear? It's in Acts, you see. This is Acts 20:35, and Paul is saying farewell to the church in Ephesus, saying, catch you all later. Been lovely serving here, but I've got to go now. And he's quoting one of Jesus' sayings in his speech to this church in Ephesus. And he says, you know, this is what Jesus said. It's better to give than to receive. But this is a phrase we don't get from the Gospels, if you know what I mean. Like, this wasn't recorded by any of the gospel writers as something Jesus said. This is something that Paul is talking about as he heard from word of mouth. And what I think is really interesting about this is Luke wrote Acts, right? And he's quoting Paul, who's quoting Jesus. Luke also wrote Luke, his gospel called Luke. And he doesn't use that quote in his gospel, but he uses it later on. So there's kind of like, I don't know, if you like weird stuff like me, I find that really interesting. Anyway, let's not overcomplicate things. Jesus said and did a whole bunch of stuff that the Gospels haven't recorded. John himself in his Gospel says in chapter 21 that if he had written down everything that Jesus said and did, there wouldn't be enough books in, he wouldn't have room for enough books in the whole world that could be written. So it's cool we have this quote that it's better to give than to receive. And of course, like everything Jesus said, this quote, it's profoundly true. It's especially true for someone who is a follower of Jesus. You know, at face value, we could doubt what Jesus says here. From a maths, you know, logical point of view, you know, think about it. It's better to receive than to give. For example, if I give someone $50, then I'm 50 bucks poorer, right? And then that $50... it could be a ticket to the cricket, you know. It could be a nice date night with Sarah. Or it could be, let me move on. It could be this exclusive life-size Baby Yoda toy, specially packaged in this hover crib, available in May 2020, which just happens to be the same month as my birthday. Coincidence? I think not. If someone gives me 50 bucks, you know, then I have 50 bucks to spend on a ticket to the cricket, or I'll have 50 bucks to spend on a dinner date with Sarah, or this exclusive life-size Baby Yoda toy available in May 2020. So, obviously, I would be better off, right, with a Baby Yoda toy than I would without one. It's better to receive than to give. Anyway, let's move on. Those of us who have tapped into wisdom and life experience and have read what the Bible says about this would argue that my Baby Yoda reasoning is a bit off. It's about as shallow as a cute little crib he's sitting up in there. When we love others deeply, when we want to bless people, we want to give people good gifts, and when we give something special to a special someone, something special happens in our heart. And at that moment, we know, because we haven't experienced it, that it is truly better to give than to receive. And in that moment, we feel humbled to have been blessed with that privilege to share with someone in this way. In that moment, we experience the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God that Jesus taught about. We understand that when we are generous, we are truly blessed. Now, I could go on and on about that this morning, but this morning I want to suggest there's a different reason why it's better to give than to receive. I think sometimes it's better to give than to receive because sometimes when people give us something that we don't expect, it can be a little bit awkward, especially when it's from someone we don't expect, like, for example, our neighbours or people in our Oikos community. When people give us something, it's like, oh, I'm not sure how to receive that. And if me mentioning the word Oikos doesn't make any sense to you, I'll bring you up to speed with that this morning. Quite a life here at our church. We're a multi-generational, outward-looking church. And to us, church is not a building. It's not a service. It is the people of God. And last year, we talked a lot about what we call the Oikos Project, which is Quina Life being a voice of hope to the Oceanside community outside those doors. Oikos is the Greek word the Bible uses for house or household, and specifically the people who are in that house. The Oceanside community is that new build area just outside our doorstep out there. And we want to reach that community out of this Oikos, out of this house, and that work is continuing on in various forms. But we don't only want to be a voice of hope out of this Oikos, this house. We all live in an Oikos. We all live in a house. And we all want to be a voice of hope in our neighborhoods because we believe that God has placed us there for a reason. So something that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks is what we are calling My Oikos. I want to be a voice of hope in my neighborhood. We've thrown out the challenge the other week for each of you to do something in your neighborhood, to be intentional with the people that God has placed you near. There's an event coming up at the end of March called Neighbor Day. And we see that as a great excuse for each of us to do something with our neighbors, whether it be coffee or a barbecue or whatever. So I hope you're working towards that at the moment. You're identifying people and maybe setting a date and working on some plans there. It's a great opportunity. And it's our hope that this won't just be a one-off, but it will be a catalyst for each of us to build stronger relationships with the people around us and be a voice of hope in our neighborhoods. And as we demonstrate the values of the kingdom of God to our neighbors, the idea is those values will rub off. And others will start to live those values too, and they'll live generous lives as a result. And when you have generous people surrounding you, whether in a church context or in your neighborhood or wherever, sometimes we feel uncomfortable when people want to give us something or bless us with things or whatever. How do we respond when others give us money or their time or stuff which makes us feel embarrassed? Well, what would Jesus do? Let's find out. And of course, we found out a little bit earlier, actually, because Eli read us so well from Mark 14. If you've got that open, we'll go through it a little bit now. So this is Mark 14, starting from verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Just a couple of notes before we proceed here. The story of a woman anointing Jesus, this appears in all four gospels. But all of these events are probably not talking about, so all those gospels aren't talking about the same event. Luke, when he talks about this, he's talking about something which happens early in Jesus' ministry with a woman who's been really convicted of her sin and she's seeking forgiveness. That's not what's happening in the other three Gospels. In Matthew, Mark and John, the event is happening in Bethany near the end of Jesus' ministry, you know, the week before he's killed. And the woman in these Gospels is not someone who's been, you know, really convicted of her sin and seeking forgiveness. It's just someone expressing her devotion to Jesus and giving him an extravagant gift. John's Gospel actually identifies the woman as Mary of Bethany, who Donnie talked about a couple of weeks ago. So it's important to point out that, you know, when you see this story, there's actually probably two different events that actually happened at either end of Jesus' ministry. The woman comes up to Jesus with an alabaster jar of pure nard. Now this is a big deal. Nard, or spikenard, as it's called today in shops, is made from a plant which in those days grew only in northern India near the Himalayas. So that's, you know, pretty valuable. It's not cheap. Most likely the alabaster bottle would have been worth a mint as well, as it was pretty hard to come by. So I've got a picture here from an alabaster bottle of nard from antiquity. And this one is from the 1st century BC, and it's kept in the Louvre. And I've also got another bottle for you. This is a glass bottle of spikenard from modernity. And this one is kept on eBay. And it's $43 for 10 mils. So it's still quite expensive, really, isn't it? The Greek text here says in Mark it costs 300 denarii, which is 300 days' work, essentially. So in today's money, taking the median Australian wage, you know, it's at least $55,000 of stuff she's got in her hand. So Mary breaks this jar and she pours 55 large on Jesus' head in one go. Anointing people with oil was not unusual. It was a very Jewish thing to do. The Old Testament talks about doing this quite a lot. But the Old Testament talks about using olive oil, not nard. And using the whole bottle, that's intense. And of course the disciples can't believe what they are seeing, what she is doing. It's nuts. It's crazy. I can just imagine someone like Judas saying something like this to her. He might say, "Woman, your fine ointment, brand new and expensive, should have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more." No? Thank you. Thank you. Very good. That's pretty good. Here's the thing. The disciples, with their grumbling and everything, they're not wrong. If you think through it logically for a moment, a whole bunch of lives could have been transformed with that money. People could have been lifted out of poverty. How could what she was doing be considered good stewardship? You know, it's extravagant, it's reckless, it's irresponsible. She does it anyway. I think the most interesting part of this whole exchange is not what Mary has done. It's not what the disciples have said in response, but it's what Jesus says. In verse 6 to 7, Jesus says, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." The same Jesus who just a few chapters earlier in Mark tells a man to sell all he has and give it all to the poor, which is kind of the same thing as the disciples are talking about here, he defends her. The same Jesus who affirmed the poor widow who gave 2 copper coins, all she had to live off, into the temple treasury, he now affirms this woman who is taking a luxury item and wasting it. What are you doing, Jesus? Before we unpack what Jesus is saying here, I just want to identify something that Jesus is not saying. I had a conversation with someone once about this verse here, verse 7, where Jesus says, you know, the poor you will always have with you. This person was quoting this verse and he was telling me that Christians have no responsibility for the poor because, as Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. So therefore, it doesn't matter if we try and help people or not because we live in a fallen world. We can't fix the situation and there will always be poor people. So he argued with me that instead of wasting our time on something we can't fix, poor people, that we are to only concentrate on sharing the gospel instead. At the time, I was very confused by this argument because it seems to go against so much of the Bible, which is very strong in helping those in need. Then through some extra research, I found out that Jesus here, in this verse, he's actually quoting Deuteronomy 15. And, you know, if you're familiar with the Bible, you notice that Jesus will do this a fair bit, where he will quote part of a verse from an Old Testament, which is kind of like a hyperlink to a whole bunch of other stuff going on there. The prime example of this is when Jesus is on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And rather than being a cry of, you know, I'm giving up now, it's actually, that's the first line of Psalm 22. And that's not a psalm about losing trust in God. Psalm 22 is about a whole bunch of messianic prophecies. So by Jesus saying this on the cross, it's not about him giving up hope, but a further confirmation of what he is doing on the cross. If you have a look at Deuteronomy 15, it's a chapter all about caring for the poor. Verse 4 says, there need not be any poor among you. And the full verse of Jesus' quote, verse 11, says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. So yeah, it's important to note what Jesus is not saying here. He is not saying the poor are to be ignored. So what is Jesus saying? There's a few things happening here. Firstly, Jesus is being really sensitive to the woman's needs. This woman, out of the overflow of love she had for Jesus, had decided in her heart she wanted to respond to the grace of God that had been shown to her. She likely took the most valuable object in her possession. It could have been a family heirloom, and she dedicated it only for Jesus. This is how she is expressing her love for Jesus. She's giving him her best, her all, and she's not holding any of her treasure back from him. It seems that she has really understood the greatest commandment as taught by Jesus. She loves God with all her heart, soul, and mind. Often the enemy of our best is not the worst. The enemy of our best can be the good. For this woman, she could have done a lot of good with that perfume. But in this occasion, at this time, in the presence of Jesus, who was going to be crucified just in a few days, she had to demonstrate her love in an extravagant way, in the best way, and she did. Jesus was not going to deny her this opportunity to express her love in the best way she knew. He knows that she needed to do this, and in response, he meets her where she is at and humbly receives her gift. Sometimes we think that the humble thing to do when someone gives us an extravagant gift is to refuse and say things like, oh, no, so I couldn't possibly. No, you keep it. But when we do refuse, we are denying them the opportunity to be generous to us. We run the risk of communicating that we don't really care about the gift or that we could be essentially better than them, because we will not accept something that they are giving us, regardless of how generous or how small it might be. We also need to be careful not to refuse people because of any pride we might have in our hearts. A humble response when someone wants to bless you is not to refuse. It takes more humility to accept the gift than it is to refuse it. Jesus didn't require this gift of perfume. He had no physical need for it, but in great humility, he accepted this gift from her. And through the grace of God, her gift was more significant than she could have realized, because Jesus further justifies this event because it prepares his body for burial. This is another symbol and step on Jesus' journey to the cross, and she gets to play a role in this. Likewise, she provides a pretty good bookend to the story of Jesus. After his birth, he is showered with expensive gifts from the Magi, and just before his death, at the end, he is showered with an expensive gift by this woman. So for us then, if we are to be like Jesus, we also need to learn how to adopt a humble posture when it comes to receiving. Regardless of whether it is from someone in the church or someone in your family or someone in your street, it's important that we receive well all that we are given. We should receive well regardless of the value of the gift. If it is 2 copper coins, we receive it with humility. If it is something of incredible monetary value, we receive it with the same humility. And we should expect that we will receive things, if we are demonstrating the generous values of the kingdom of God in the way we live our lives, because those values tend to rub off onto others and influence others to do likewise. If we are following Jesus in the example of the way we live our lives, we will be generous givers, but not only that, we will be humble receivers as well. And the reason we are generous people is because we love our neighbor as ourselves. And the reason we love our neighbors is because we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and obey his commandment to do so. And the reason we love God is because he loved us first. And while we were still sinners, he went to the cross for us. And so, as we humbly receive his gift of forgiveness and salvation, we also need to humbly receive everything else that comes our way as well. Let's share a prayer. God, we want to thank you that your example is not only show us that we need to be generous givers, but also people who are very humble in the way we receive things. And thank you for your demonstration of that in the way you lived your life. And God, as we, as your people, look more and more to loving our neighbors as ourselves, we're expecting others to grab hold of that and to express that as well. And when good things come our way, God, help us to say thank you with all humility and accept well. I'm excited, God, about the next few weeks when we're talking more and more about being more involved with our neighbors and our community around us. And we just want to pray, God, that you might lead us into people's lives that we need to spend more time with and connect with more and demonstrate what your kingdom is like and help us to receive well when it comes our way. So thank you for this lesson today, God, and we pray that we can put it into practice this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.